but I'm known for going out for four and running like 14. You know, like I'd just be like, oh, I'm having so much fun. Yeah. And I'll just keep going and going and going and going.
Diz Runs Radio episode 552 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, real quick, today's episode of the show is brought to you by the good folks over at healthiq.com. We've talked about HealthIQ quite a bit in the last several months. They've been a great partner and sponsor and advertiser and promoter of the show. And if you haven't headed over to the website yet, you know, to check out the rates that you can get on life insurance, because again, what HealthIQ does is works with life insurance companies to provide better rates for those who are more active and health conscious. So us as runners, we qualify. And it's not a whole grueling process to get started either. It's really actually quite simple to verify that you actually run and you know, to be able to qualify for the rates. But if for some reason you're not quite right in the market yet for you know, adding more life insurance coverage to the policy, it doesn't mean that HealthIQ has nothing to offer you. If you head over to the website, healthiq.com, and actually if you go to healthiq.com/dizruns, it'll, you know, show that you came from listening to the show. But they have all manner of quizzes available that you can take to just learn, you know, it's quizzes, but they're fun. And they're a great way to learn about different areas of health and wellness that, you know, might not only benefit you as a runner, but benefit you overall in your general life and health as well. So, you know, things on meditation, on yoga, on stretching, on recovery, certainly on running, diet, nutrition, different types of eating plans, the whole nine yards. There's a whole host of options there and really, really fun ways to kind of test your knowledge. You know, what do you know? What do you think you know? And maybe you need to brush up a little bit more on all over at the HealthIQ website. So if you haven't done so yet, head over to healthiq.com/dizruns, take a couple quizzes. And while you're there, you know, why not put your information in and see what kind of life insurance coverage you could get as well and what the prices might be. And if it's something that you need, definitely worth checking out. So thanks again to HealthIQ for sponsoring today's episode. And now let's go ahead and get on with today's episode of the show. Hey guys, today is one of those episodes where I'm finally interviewing someone that probably should have been on the show a few years ago at least. My guest today has been running for a number of years, literally and metaphorically, which I'm sure is a topic that we will definitely unpack as we go. And along the way, he has also earned his half fanatic status, along with a whole bunch of other accolades, which we will certainly, like I said, get to. I've been connected to my guest today on Twitter for more years than, like I said, than I can remember. Probably should have done this a while ago, but I'm really excited to take our back and forth beyond the what used to be 140 characters, now is 180 characters, and actually, you know, put voice to the conversation. And without any further ado, it's a pleasure to be able to go a few easy miles today with Mr. Jeremy During. So thanks for joining us today, Jeremy. Really appreciate it, and welcome to the show finally.
Hey, thanks, Denny. I appreciate being here. I've been following you on Twitter for several years now, mm-hmm. So it's kind of surreal to, like I just said during the warm-up conversation, it's a little surreal to be on this side of the conversation and actually be a part of it and not just listening in to somebody else's conversation. So pretty excited.
Yeah, definitely. And as am I. And guys, if you haven't already connected with Jeremy on the Twitters, the handle is @SpartanSailor, SpartanSailor, @ Spartan, yes. Sailor on the Twitter. Connect. He's in and around the Twitter conversations, the running conversations on Twitter all the time. So you jump in, yeah. Say hello, and we'll have everything linked up as we always do in the show notes for today's episode, which you can find at dizruns.com/552. So, Jeremy, this isn't coming out of left field for you today. You know what's coming. You know how we start the show. Same question for everybody. Simple question. Sometimes simple answer. Sometimes not so easy. But here it is. Your moment to stake your claim to a distance. What is your favorite distance to race and why?
Oh, that's easy. I actually put some thought into this yesterday while I was running. 13.1 half marathon for sure. That. For me is kind of like the beginning of where I enjoy to run. The kind of mileage it is makes it worth the effort of going to a race, mm-hmm. right? So I dislike 5Ks as much as everyone, and you know, they have their place, and it's a great distance. But I feel like you'd go through so much time and effort to get there, parking, deal with like congestion, and then you get out there and you run your lungs out, you almost die, and then it's over, right? And so, you know, I'm a family guy, so I go to these events, and I don't generally hang out a whole lot afterward. So the half marathon distance is long enough that you can get out there, you can enjoy it, you can see a place you've never been if you're in somewhere you're unfamiliar with, and you get your money's worth, and then you can get back home and still have a reasonable amount of, you know, inconvenience to the family. So that's easily my favorite distance for sure.
And it's, you know, for all of the reasons I've said before about the 5K and not having it be a race that I particularly enjoy, I'd never thought about it in the terms that you just put it. But, you know, it's crazy to think, and I'm guilty of this, and just probably about every 5K I've ever run, it takes me longer to drive to the race, even locally, even an in-town race takes longer to drive there than it does to run. So by the time you drive there, like you said, warm up, cool down, drive home, like, you're three or four times the amount of time of the race is what you put into that event. So that's, the longer the race, the more you actually, you know, the balance is in your favor a little bit.
And I enjoy more mileage. So when it's all done and said, you know, to race a 5K, I mean, if I was a goal race, that'd be maybe a little bit different. But I mean, I'd be one of those guys out there warming up, doing a couple miles before the race started, because you can't just go at like 5K pace, like cold at 7 o'clock in the morning, you know? So it's, the half marathon distance allows me to get a little bit more mileage, which I feel, you know, which burns off all the energy that I try to burn off anyway. So, good race, good distance.
And unless you're really trying to kill it with a half marathon, you can you know, use the first couple miles of the half marathon as your warm up. So you don't even have to get there other than just to get there to get to the corrals and all that kind of stuff. You can just get there and go.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I'm not at all fast enough to be one of these guys that's all that terribly concerned. I can decide at mile five if this is going to be a race or just a nice outing.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. And be fine with it either way. You know, not.
Yeah, either way. Yeah, either way.
Definitely. How'd you get into the sport? What's your running background? Has it been a lifelong thing, something fairly recent? Where'd you dip your toe in?
Yeah, so it's been an on and off again kind of love affair. My dad took me to races when he was young, when I was young, actually. Well, I guess he was younger. And I started running with him, and I would do like the 5Ks every now and then when I was real young, like third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade kind of stuff. And then, you know, that kind of just took. And I grew up playing soccer, so it kind of worked to run a lot. And then I didn't really get into cross country or track in high school because I was on the soccer team. And seasons conflicted, kind of played year round. Mm-hmm. That was kind of my thing. And then in college, it was just something I would do kind of for fun to kind of decompress a little bit. And it's always just been one of those things I do every now and then. Now I'm in the military. So then when I joined the Navy, it became somewhat of a little bit more of an expectation that I would run more consistently. But I mean, we're not talking about race paces. We're talking, you know, casual fitness kind of running. And then I got to a midpoint in my military career where, you know, I was balancing family, career, fitness, and the fitness became like a lower and lower priority. And I started, you know, packing on the pounds, and I had a buddy of mine that was running all the time. And I remember the day that he posted, he was doing a run streak. He's a run streaker, right? So he had posted, he had run 600 days in a row, and I had been struggling just getting back in the gym at all at that point, on and off again. And I thought, what kind of idiot would run for 600 straight days? And you know where this is going, Denny. Uh-huh. So then like a few months later, it was January, and it wasn't necessarily New Year's Eve. It was just a resolution or anything. It was like January, and my buddy Brian had posted, he'd just run for every day for two straight years, whatever that is, 700 and, you know, 30 days or whatever. And I thought, wow. Suddenly what sounded like an idiot 130 days ago seems like if he can do it every day for 2 years, I can do it every day for a month. So I thought I would run every day for a month starting early January 2013. And I would try to run and I'd be really frustrated that I wasn't as fast as I remember being, or I would struggle at a shorter distance than I used to do. And so I just took my watch and took all that stuff and got rid of it. And I just mapped out a couple courses around my neighborhood and thought, I'm just going to go every day and establish a habit. And then I'll deal with speed and pace and all that kind of stuff at a later time, because I need to get back into give myself a little bit more attention in terms of taking care of myself. And that was the beginning of a renewed love affair. And today is 1,906 days of that. Of that 30-day run streak, yeah.
Yeah. there's so many things about the run streak that I'm looking forward to unpacking a bit, because it's something that, you know, I as I've said a few times to various people along the way, I've tried it here and there, and maybe I just wasn't committed enough to see it off. I'm also a fan of the idea of taking a break and giving the body a rest, and you know, clearly. For some people, you're obviously one of them. The run streak thing works. I think that some people it doesn't work as well, and you know, we can hash that out as we go or not. We'll kind of see where it takes us. Yeah. But I think that the easiest question that I can't pass up is why? You know, why? Yeah. You know, you said I get the idea of like, I'm going to run every day for this month just to kind of get back in the habit, get back in the routine. I'm not going to worry about pace, all that kind of stuff. But But 5+ years later, why are we still streaking?
Yeah. So, slightly more to the story. So after 30 days, it was day 22. It's weird how I can remember these things. It was day 22. And I thought, next week I'll be done with a month. And it's been 3 straight weeks and mission accomplished. Like, I actually enjoy running again. Like, I've taken all the pressure off of it and I feel like I'm back in the habit. And I knew at that point I was getting ready to move across country. So I was like, because remember, I'm in the military. So I was thinking, well, it's easy to get lazy during a move because I'll be not at work and my routine is so thrown off. So I thought I would extend it another 30 days to get through that move so that I could at least have something to keep me from, like, to help me stay in a routine. Mm-hmm. And then that got me to 60 days. By the time I got there, you see where this is going. And then my son asked me, he's like, well, you got to do at least a year. And I was like, yeah, I probably will. We'll see, though. I'll just run until I just don't want to. And quite honestly, that's still kind of the case. Now, it is a little different. And I know that there are, you know, anti-streakers out there, and there are a lot of good reasons not to do it. I'd like to think that I'm a little bit smart about it. I mean, I don't kill myself and run like 10 miles a day every day. You know, there are times when I'll just go out and I run like what I call a diagnostic mile, right? Like, if I'm kind of hurting in a weird spot, I'll go run like a mile and a half or so and see if it actually hurts or if it's just like a normal ache and pain. Right. And whether or not it's there's a pain there or not, I'll still cut it short just to kind of give myself a rest. So, you know, I mean, for me, a rest day is like a mile to a mile and a half. And it's real low intensity. And I get that that's even still not rest for, you know, to the purists, but you're going to go out and walk, right? I mean, complete sedentary is not the goal of rest. So it's really a matter of, for me, of variable intensity and distance and length and effort and stuff like that. But why? I don't know. Like, I feel like when I wake up in the morning, if I don't run, all I think about is when I'm going to run. Like, it dominates my every thought until it's over. So it would bother me if I didn't just get up and go for a run in the morning. And so until I wake up and that doesn't haunt me, I'll just keep doing it. You know, I'm not doing it for any kind of like bragging rights or any kind of ego. I'm not doing it so I can get to like 2000 or something. Mm-hmm. I'm just doing it because I wake up every day and I still want to run. And, you know, there are days that I wake up and I don't want to run, but those tend to be in the middle of like a training cycle and I actually have a plan. Mm-hmm. And so then it's just the mental effort to get out and do what's expected of me to prepare for a race that's coming up. And, you know, you would deal with that whether or not you were a streaker, right? There are times when your body's tired from a buildup and lots of hard workouts and you know, you're mentally also fatiguing as you go through that physical fatigue. So.
Yeah, certainly. And yeah, I mean, we all have those days that we struggle and you know, for some, I think that maybe that's your body telling you, or your mind even telling you, like, hey, just, you know, take a day, give yourself that little break. And then for others, and again, obviously for you, it works and you continue to push through. And is, you know, you mentioned kind of that diagnostic mile. Is that kind of your threshold? Like, as long as I get about a mile in, like streak on, is that kind of where you've set it?
Yeah, that's, I try to make it a mile plus because I feel I mean, the U.S. Streak Runners Association is a mile. You have to run at least a mile a day to be a member. I'm not currently an active member on their roll or anything like that, but I use that as my baseline. You know, if it's a mile is a far enough distance. I mean, I generally would like to run longer than that, but if I'm nursing kind of like a weird ankle pain or something like that, then there's no point in pushing it.
Yeah.
So. But I do feel like I have to run a little bit just to see if I'm, I know this is counter to all my doctors and, you know, normal people. It would be like, if your ankle hurts, just take a day off. And I'm like, okay, I do, after I determine that it's still sore by running a mile. You know, I mean, I've been running, like, I've been sick. It's been horrible days out there. And those days where I was really sick and I decided I was still going to go do it, it was really more about proving to myself I could go out there and run under the most undesirable conditions. And my wife was like, don't call me. She's like, get your butt back home on your own. Don't call me in the middle of this like crazy snowstorm or this, you know, if you're sick and you're half a mile down the road, crawl home.
Yeah. You're dumb enough to go out there. Don't drag me along with you.
That's right. That's right. And I get that. And I can respect that.
Oh, goodness. You know, and again, you know, this is one of those things that kind of, you know, it starts small. It starts out as we're going to do this for a month and builds upon. Mm-hmm. In those early days, if you can think back to 5+ years ago when this started, mm-hmm. You know, well, I guess backtrack from that just for a second. Obviously, over time, over 5 years of running every day, various distances, various intensities, mm-hmm. depending on training, all that kind of stuff, your body adapts to the point where now, I mean, the coach in me and the exercise science and the sports medicine guy in me hates to say this, but you probably really don't necessarily need a full rest day when, like you said, you can take a real easy mile. It's basically the same thing as a rest day, whatever. But in the early days, body probably wasn't quite fully adapted to that point yet. Were there some struggle points in that first month or 2 months where it was really tough to get out there and get that minimum distance in, as your body and your mind were adapting to this whole streak idea?
A little bit. I mean, leading up to when I decided to do it, I got to the point where I was like, I just want to be able to go run 3 or 4 miles, not feel like that's daunting again. And so I would go kill myself for like 2 miles and be really frustrated that I sucked or that I wasn't as fast as I felt like I should have been based upon the 25-year-old me that I remember running all the time and, you know, and being relatively fast. And so I put all that ego aside and I was pretty smart about it. I mean, I knew that 30 days of running meant that, you know, I'm going to build up a little bit, but I don't want to build too fast and then get a stress fracture. So started off, I was like, well, let's keep the math easy. And the week one, I'll just run like, you know, 12 miles. Mm-hmm. And I basically ran like a mile or a mile and a half every day. Nothing that would really stress the system. And then I just added a couple miles to that. And I just added then a few miles to that. And then I felt like I was pretty good. And that's also when I got to about 3 weeks in and I realized, I'm like, okay, I can do mid 20 mile weeks. Is something that I think I can do. And then every month I would cut back a little bit, right? I would reduce the mileage just to give my body a chance. So even though in my mind now I'm like, you know, I would cut back on a long week of 20 miles. And at this point, I rarely ever see the low side of a 20 mile week. But again, it's not an ego thing. It's just I get out there to run and I just enjoy it. And I just find that, you know, I need to do the miles. But yeah, there were a lot of days that were kind of tough. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's still sometimes the toughest part of a run. And I think people say this, you see these cheesy signs all the time, but like the hardest part is just putting on the shoes.
Right.
You know, and I found for me, life gets in the way of taking care of my own fitness.
Right.
So if I get up dark early and I put on my shoes and I just step out the door, mm-hmm. you know, then it all just becomes better from that point on. No matter how daunting that thought might be, it's way easier to go run at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning than it is for me to run at 6 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. After I've worked the whole day, come home and now I want to spend time with the family and it's dinner. And then, you know, I'm not going to do 9 or 10 o'clock at night run because I get up so early. So it just, it works for me, but there are days when it's hard to, you know, still get out there and do it. But I still need to. I feel like I need to. I feel like I'm addicted to the endorphin rush, I think. Mm-hmm. Perhaps. Who knows?
Yeah. And I keep going back to this because I just want to stress the importance of that. You know, it's something that works for you, and not necessarily for everybody. And I know it doesn't work for me because I've tried it before. I've tried it a few times. I tried it once and it didn't work. And so, you know, a year later, let me try again and see if maybe, you know, my fitness has changed or my mentality, whatever, and it still hasn't worked. So, you know, for people that are newer to the sport, listening to this, or maybe new to trying the idea of a run streak, you know, you got to do what works for you. So don't feel like you have to do it or whatever. But with that kind of thought in mind, have people approached you that are maybe considering a run streak to ask for your advice? And if so, or yeah. if not, what kind of thoughts would you share with somebody who's listening to this? It's like, hey, maybe, you know what? I've never really done a run streak before. Let me give it a shot and you know, try for 30 days or whatever. What kind of advice would you give them to maybe help them along the way?
Yeah. I mean, I would share a little bit of think of a rest day as like a, whatever your minimum distance is you want to run, you know, a mile or what have you. And I would work that in at least once a week so that you never really lose track of the fact that what you're doing actually does have a cumulative stress on the body. The other thing is I would tell people it definitely is not for everybody. I realize that I enjoy it, but that doesn't mean that you would enjoy it beyond 31 days, you know? And so I know Run World does one during the holidays. It's fun to get involved in one of those where you have, like, you know, the internet and the social media kind of self-supportive of that kind of thing. Right. When you've got other people, hashtag Run World, Run Streak, you know, or whatever it is. That's kind of a good way to do it. And, you know, I've had friends that have done them and then they ended in injury. And not necessarily related to the run streak per se, but it definitely a serious injury will put it into a run streak. And, you know, there's no shame in that either, right? The goal isn't – you're never going to outrun the longest run streaker if that's your goal, because I think the guy's been doing it for almost 50 years. So, I mean, unless you started when you were in your teens, you're not going to see that for – and even if you did, you're not going to see that for several decades. So there's really – beyond that, I would say – listen to your body. Like, that's the one thing I've learned is listen to your body. When something aches, there's a difference between, you know, the stress of growing and the stress of injury. And it's difficult to understand the difference sometimes. Muscle soreness is not always the same thing as a joint soreness, but prolonged muscle soreness might be an indicator of overuse or imbalance and something else that you need to take a look at. So, you know, I would say that the first thing I would advise is listen to your body. And if you set out to do 30 days or 60 days or whatever it is, and you're like halfway through that and you feel like your body isn't, and your body is telling you you should stop, listen to your body. Mm-hmm. If your motivation is telling you to stop, that's on you, right? I mean, if you want to do this and motivation's a part of like that mental toughness, if that's what you're trying to accomplish, then make sure that it's your mind telling you not to stop rather, and not a part of your body telling you to stop. Because if your body is telling you to stop, excuse me, that's when you want to listen up.
Yeah, certainly. And as I've mentioned in various places along the way, if you don't get the hint the first time, your body's going to keep telling you. So eventually, you know, eventually you really are going to break down and have to maybe take 6-8 weeks or longer off, as opposed to a couple of days, which, you know, sucks for the run streak, but, you know, better to lose a couple of days and start fresh than to lose six weeks or 6 months and have to start from square one as a runner again.
That's right.
Speaking of starting, when somebody's getting ready to, or thinking about starting a streak, what kind of fitness should they have? And also, I guess kind of, we did kind of gloss over this, you know, when you started your streak, the idea was to kind of get back into the running routine. Did you have much of a base of fitness at that point, or were you pretty much starting from scratch at the start of your running streak?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a pretty hefty 210 pound guy. I spent my 20s in the gym thinking I was going to be, you know, like the Rock, and I would just crush in the weights, and I'm only 5'7". So like, I'm a pretty stocky guy. And, I always thought of myself as a gym rat, and I was pretty serious about it. I put on a ton of mass, and I would tell you that that's one way to do it. but then when I kind of got to that point in my career, in my early to mid 30s, you know, life starts changing, metabolism starts changing, life priorities started changing, and that all kind of worked against me. So I had gotten up to a less pleasant looking 240 pounds. And so I wouldn't say I was exactly in shape. Mm-hmm. And my biggest concern was that's a lot of weight for my joints to be running. It wasn't you know, a solid 210 or even whatever I was, wasn't bad when I was lifting, because it was all about the muscles were moving the mass, right? I was using them, but I wasn't running anywhere near as much. I would run a little bit just to keep some cardio, but not anything like I do now. So I would say I wasn't really in the best shape. And in fact, I had gotten to the point where every time I got in the gym and started to get back into the mode, I would hurt myself again because I would overdo it. So I would say, depending on where you are in your fitness, I would be smart and go from there. So like if you normally run like twice a week and you want to go to a streak, I would say, you know, think of the 1 mile day as like your bread and butter, right? Like just get so that you get in the habit of getting out there every day so that mentally your body knows that it's going to go out there every day. If you're already running like 30 to 40 or 25 miles a week, you already have a fairly standard, a good base. I would just add, if you want to do a streak, I would just add, you know, either cut back a little bit and then add in like two milers or just a 1 miler on the days that you would normally take off and see how that feels. And then stick with your normal routine. I mean, I wouldn't do anything severe. I certainly wouldn't advise somebody who's like, yeah, I'm going to couch to 5K. I'm going to start with a 30-day run streak. I'm going to do 40 miles a week.
Right.
That would be ill-advised under any circumstance. So, you know, I would say, again, be honest with yourself about where you're at with your fitness. And when in doubt, when it comes to something like, for me, when it comes to something like running, unless it's race day, when in doubt, I would cut back, right? I mean, there are times when I'm running hard for the purpose of a particular physiological gain or I want some performance outcome. But on the whole, I'm running most of my miles just running them, right? Mm-hmm. So like if I feel like I'm a little too tired, I don't have any shame cutting a 10 miler down to 4.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like unless it's my long run, and then in which case then I kind of mentally struggle through why am I feeling this way or what have you. But if it's Wednesday and I set out to do 10 miles, cause I do that sometimes cause it's a good way to get extra miles, run commutes. And then I'm like, nah, I just don't want to, I'm not feeling it after 4 miles. If I'm not feeling it. Yeah. I'm not feeling it. There's no, I've got nothing to prove.
Right.
I'm not a pro. So, you know, this is what I do for fun.
Well, yeah, and that's an important thing to remember that all pretty, I think everybody listened. I don't know, maybe we got a couple pros listening, but I haven't heard from them yet. So I'm going to assume that everybody listening to this is the same way. We do this for fun. It's something we enjoy. So don't, you know, I had this conversation with a client this morning. Don't let running add more stress to your life. Like
that's right.
Keep it fun. And if that means backing off for a day or flip flopping something or taking a day off, if you're not at run streak or whatever the case might be, do that. Have running be something that adds to it, not to add more to your plate type of thing.
And I would say even, and this is even for myself, like if the streak becomes a stressor, it's over, right? I mean, I run for fun. And so when it stops being fun, then I need to either change it up, take a break, or do something else. And in fact, interesting little story, if I can go on a little side story. Certainly. Here for a second. Last year in May, I had made my third or fourth attempt over 3 years at my half marathon goal. And I mean, working with different coaches and really putting myself through the ringer. And I had just, and I barely missed it. I wanted to run a 130 and I ran a one sub 130. I wanted 129.59. Mm-hmm. Right. And I ran a 130.51. And that was my personal record. So I was satisfied that I had exceeded my 131, but I was dissatisfied that I didn't get the extra 51 seconds. Mm-hmm. Right. And I didn't give myself a lot of time off and I started to train again pretty intensely. And I feel like I started to get a little burned out. And I was talking to a friend of mine, I think you know her, Jen Kirkpatrick. She was on the show a couple weeks ago and we were talking about it. And I had gotten to the point where that, chasing that time became a chore and it started to really take the joy out of the running. And I got to where I would be in the middle of like what was supposed to be a fairly intense run. I was just like, I just don't care anymore. And I would just back off the effort and just jog it out. And I realized that, you know, it was probably burning out. Right. Cause I mean, I chased that time for years, Danny, like years, race after race after race after race, build up after build up after build up. And I never took any time off. And I would get so close. I was like, okay, I'm going to take, you know, a couple weeks easy, and I'm going to hit it right while I still got some residual fitness, and we're going to chase this thing again. I'm going to put an extra couple weeks onto this training cycle. I'm going to really, and it just caught up with me. And, so I spent last summer, I think I barely, for me, ran very few miles on the whole. And then I shifted away from the road running intensity, and I started running on the trails a little bit more. Mm. And that was a very good change up. It resulted in kind of revitalizing my enjoyment that I get out of running. And I just kind of set that chasing that time goal to the side, because really when it comes right down to it, it was just my ego, and my ego was like destroying my fun. So I had to move on past that, and I started doing a little bit more trail running, which is, now I'm not like an all-in trail runner. I'm not an all-in road runner. I'm just an all-in runner. So if there's a good course, I'm going to run it. If there's some good scenery, I'm going to enjoy it. And but I definitely enjoy the days I'm out on the trails. It's a different kind of experience, and it's really, for me, it's very rejuvenating. It kind of, mm-hmm. you know, I like being out there, and you know, sidewalks are one thing, but when you're out on the trails, that's definitely a much more peaceful experience, and I enjoy it. I enjoy those runs differently, but I enjoy them very, very much. So,
yeah, certainly, and I think there's something to be said for mixing things up once in a while. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. as much as we all love running, if you're running the same route in your neighborhood or the same handful of routes in your area, like it's great, it's fun, but you know, it can get a little bit tedious. Let's not kid ourselves. So if you can mix in a trail run, or you're traveling, you can run somewhere else. Like it's nice to shuffle the deck a little bit and experience some new sights and sounds and all of that good stuff that goes along with running in different locations.
Yep, exactly.
So yeah. So I have a few other questions, and at some point we'll get off of the run streak. Although, you know, I think this is certainly very interesting to me, and a couple more questions on that. But first, yeah. I want to take a second and pay a couple bills real quick.
Sure.
This episode of the show is once again brought to you by the good folks over at Health IQ. And again, we've been talking about Health IQ for a while now. They've been very supportive of the show and what we're doing and what you're doing. Quite honestly, I mean, you know, as runners, we're you know, one of the goals that we all have, whether it's in whatever form it may come in, is, you know, being healthier, running faster, running longer, staying injury free, all those types of things. And Health IQ is of the belief that healthy people should maybe pay a little bit less when it comes to life insurance. So what they've done is they work with life insurance providers to give you know, the best rates possible to those who are healthy and have, you know, not that talking about death is a fun topic, but we're, you know, less likely being proactive about being healthier, less likely to have, you know, to meet the maker as soon as maybe the general population. So if you're, you know, as this episode gets released, it's right about tax deadline season. If you've gone through your taxes, your finances, and realize that, hey, maybe we need a little bit more coverage for a new kid or this, that, or the other thing that's going on, your life events change, you need to get a little bit of life insurance, head over to healthiq.com/DizRuns, or if you talk, you know, call them up, talk to an agent, mention that you heard about it here on the show, mentioned Diz Runs. That way we get a little bit of a credit, but you get to find out what kind of coverage you can get, the best coverage for the best price, healthiq.com. So thanks again to Health IQ for sponsoring the show and doing something that helps us out a little bit, you know, a little reward, a little extra reward for being healthy and you know, reaching our running goals. So Jeremy, you mentioned in that story about, you know, kind of getting almost burnt out or a little bit, you know, kind of losing the joy in chasing that one goal. And that ties into a question that I definitely have as it relates to training for races during a run streak. You know, and like you said, you on days that you have off, you know, maybe just keep it real short and easy. But how, you know, can we dive in a little bit more on how that sure. process plays out? Because, you know, as a coach, like not that I think that anything is ever set in stone, but it's like, you know, take a day off here, recover after a race, give yourself a few days to recover and things like that. And so, I think definitely in terms of days off here and there is being important. But when it comes to training for a race, you know, how do you prevent maybe overtraining? How do you, you know, try to stave off that fatigue that can build up when you don't give yourself mm-hmm. a day off? And again, your body's adapted, you're more used to it now, but it still has right. to be something that maybe is, I would assume, is still something that's in the back of your mind on occasion. So how do you prepare for a goal race and maintain a run streak at the same time?
Yeah. So I've had a couple different coaches over the years. And one thing that I told them you know, and I think I even talked to you a few years ago, Denny, and it's like, what are your goals? What are you trying to accomplish? And one of the things I always say is I'm a run streaker, you know, like not to the extent that it's going to like frame out anything in particular, but all my, the people that have coached me have all said, well, that's on you, right? So I'll write the plan, but if that's your goal, then that's all on you. You're the one that has to get out the door every day. But generally what ends up happening is the different phases of the build up for a race, you know, they serve different purposes and stuff. I'm not a coach. I'm just learning about running as I'm going through the process of being coached. But so usually what ends up happening is, you know, the long run's a key component that builds as would be expected. I like speed. I don't consider myself terribly fast, but man, do I love 800 repeats and like, I love, hate those things more than anything in the world. And so I love working on the speed because it just shocks the body in a different way. And then usually there's some type of, course type of specific thing. So like if the race is somewhat hilly, there'll be some hill repeats. If it's not so hilly, it's relatively flat, then there'll be a different type of, you know, tempo or progression run or something like that. So usually if the week would consist of three principal workouts that are going to be geared toward getting me to the race goal, then the other 4 days are easy, right? Mm-hmm. Just go out there and cover the mileage to kind of like get you where you feel like you need to be. And so as those miles progress, obviously those, you know, would be more and more, right? So as you build up your mileage and you go from 40 to 60 miles a week, you know, even the low days are going to be longer than they were
right
a month ago. Well, I just have an extra day to divide that difference. Mm-hmm. So I spread it out that way. So sometimes what I'll do, if I'm feeling like I'm, you know, making an executive decision, as they say, to kind of change up the goal, the training plan, I follow the specific workouts, but then I'll cut out miles on a day that I feel extra fatigue, but then I generally add them back in elsewhere or not, you know, because if it's already the three primary goals, maybe goal days, and then there's like another day in there where I want to get, sometimes I'll have, yeah, I mean, this is very specific, but sometimes you'll have like a fairly hard run the day after a really hard run for the purpose of teaching your body to run when it's tired.
Right.
So in my mind, that's a workout that you're committed to. But like Sunday afternoon, casual, just burn off the weekend frustrations or whatever. Like if that was scheduled for 4 and I do 2, I don't mind. Right. Sometimes I'll do 5. But I usually don't overrun during a training cycle because that does have the cumulative effect. But I'm known for going out for 4 and running like 14. You know, like I'd just be like, oh, I'm having so much fun. Yeah. And I'll just keep going and going and going and going. And I'm a good pupil, as they say. Like my coach tells me to do something, I pretty much try to do it exactly as the plan goes. But, you know, that's why I pay the coaches, for them to figure out how to work a run for every single day. And then I provide, you know, and I've had some really good experiences and lots of, in, you know, one-on-one feedback. And how are you feeling? Do you feel like you want to cut back on this day? Do you want to do that kind of stuff? So it's always a discussion, but you know, I'll tell you what I don't like though, is I don't like to taper. Like I found that as I do whatever I'm told to do, but as I get longer and longer into like how I enjoy running, I find that I don't run my best when you might think following a taper. I appreciate what the taper does, like allows your body to show up rested and healthy and ready to go. My taper is too severe. I feel like I lose something because I'm so used to running so much that I don't know that I need a typical taper that would be generally prescribed for a given race. So like I did my own training plan for the first time as I got ready for this 50K that I just recently did a couple weeks ago. And I gave myself a full 2 week taper. And I think that was the worst thing I ever did. Cause I really was running better before that than I did on the race. Now all that done and said, I mean, the race day was still a good day. And in the end, it was, I think a decent performance, but I think I ran better before my taper. So I'm not to say I would be a completely anti-taper, but I think that you know, my running style is my running style, and I still need to figure out. I'm always learning. And as I get stronger or run more or older, all of those dynamics continuously are changing. So what may have worked a couple of years ago may not work now,
right,
and vice versa. So it's a little bit of a challenge, I think, but I don't really think of it that terribly much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just kind of how I do it.
Right. Well, and that brings up a point that, you know, I'm going to take a second and plug not only myself, but the good running coaches out there that, you know, like you said, you talk to the coaches and they're willing to work with you, you know, because everybody's got to find what works for each person. At least that's my belief as a coach. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that what works for one person may or may not work for the next. You know, you kind of have to adjust, and everybody's different and everybody's needs are different. So, you know, when you're looking for that type of guidance and support, I think it's important to interview the coach as much as the coach might interview you to find out if it's going to be a good fit. You know, kind of jumping off the streak train just a little bit, the ultra marathon, uh-huh. Was that kind of precipitate? Did Jen talk you into that as well? Or was that something that you came to on your own, or how'd you find the ultra marathon world?
So, So this is like the Jen Kirkpatrick fan club, right? So I will tell you that she didn't exactly convince me to do it, but she was very sneaky in the way that she did this, I think. And I think she knows how my mind works is a little. And so she planted just the right seed. So took some time off of the intensity of chasing the half marathon goal. Mm-hmm. And I started running in the trails, just kind of exploring. And I'll tell you though, Denny, I love it. It's a completely different kind of run, and I love it. Given my vices, I would definitely be out on the trails because it's just so much more enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And the nature, so started doing that. And I think she was, you know, so, you know, she did recently, like last year was a big year for her. She mm-hmm. did several ultras in a row, different distances, culminating in Brazos 100. And so she had mentioned before she even ran Brazos, before she even ran the 50-mile, quote, training ultra leading up to this, she had mentioned that she was going to already do another 100-miler. And I was like, you're crazy. But she had mentioned that she was looking at races out here on the East Coast. I'm in Virginia. So she was looking out in this general area. And I said, well, if you come anywhere near me, I'll be a pacer. Mm-hmm. Didn't even know what I was talking about. But I was just like, but yeah, I'll come out there and run with you. And then I did a little bit of homework and I realized that if I'm pacing for 100, I might have to run 30 miles on my own. So I was mm-hmm. like, crap, what did I just sign up for?
Yeah, you wrote a check and now you got to cash it there, big fella.
Yeah, so now I got to cash it. So then she got me thinking about the Superior 100-mile or 50-mile that they do up in, I think it's in the Minnesota side of Lake Superior. Yep. So, but long story short, like in September, I saw this Patapsco Valley 50K in Maryland that was like a month away, a little more than a month away. And I thought, I'll just do that and see how that goes. And I had a couple of Ragnar relays in there, so I didn't really get to train. I know the volume of mileage I do is probably high for the average type of casual runner, 45 to 50 miles a week. So I was fairly confident that if I just take it easy, that I could cover the distance of the 31 miles. But I was really concerned about nutrition, and like I've never run that far. So, you know, pace for me is usually run at the red line and hope you get there on goal time. And so she talked me off the ledge of that craziness. And then so I went out there and I ran it, and I got the full ultra experience. I mean, that was my first trail run. It was 31 miles. It was it was a full 31 miles, except that I was fortunate enough to get lost, not once, but twice, and add 4 extra miles and almost 1,000 extra feet of elevation gain to what should have been the day, and I still got to the end, and it was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool experience, and people along the way, you kind of like settle into different pace areas and see people throughout the day. So so I did that 50K just to have a 50K so that I could be eligible to register for the Superior 50 miler, which I didn't even register for. So, you know, thanks to Jen, I got the ultra bug. And so then I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he, he thought that sounded like a really terrible idea and wanted to do it himself. So he came out here to Virginia and ran the Belmont 50K with me on March 10th a couple weeks ago. And that was a very different race, and it was pretty cool though. It was good. That was another good one. But I'm not I'll do it again. I always say, well, I'm not going to go run that distance. I'd be lying if I didn't already say I've been looking at more longer distance races and stuff like that, because I like the adventure of it. I like the idea of going out there and testing myself and seeing if I'm mentally and physically strong enough to keep going. Like, I know, like, the mental game is the bigger part of the equation, right? And I'm like a mule. I weigh 210 pounds. So like on these trail, like this ultra, I saw people at the start, they're like holding a handheld and that's it, because they don't want to carry like an extra ounce.
Right.
I'm like, what are you're crazy. And they've got like, you know, pockets, and they've got their food or their goos or whatever in their pockets. I'm like, man, I've got like on a whole vest. I've got like 18 pounds of gear. I'm like, there ain't no way I'm going to be stuck out there and not prepared, right? Like, if I might need snowshoes in June, they're going in the back. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't have lower ounces or even a couple pounds of like water. People are like, oh my gosh, 2 liters of water. You know, the math of that says that's like 4 pounds. Like, I don't care how much it weighs. I'm already pushing 210 pounds up that hill. So that's no bueno. Right. 2 extra pounds of water is what I need, because I'm going to be drinking it. So I'm a little bit different in that regard. I'm not trying to go light. I'm just trying to get to the finish. And so far I've made it a couple times.
Awesome. But, what was your initial experience or thoughts as it relates to an ultra aid station versus a road race water stop?
Oh my God, it was so awesome. It was so fun. I ran up and there were people standing there. They're all cheering for you. And, you know, different from the road, where I never stop at aid stations. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll run my half marathon, and I'm just like a wave at people and I keep on going. There's no way that was going to happen. So I run in there, and there are people cheering. There's food everywhere. There's like pancakes and bacon and little waffle bits and like peanut butter and jelly candy. I was like, oh, this is my kind of jam right here. And then the trick is, though, like, they're not racing. They're there to have a good time, right? So you can get sucked into like the aid station, like, you know, time warp pretty easily if you're not paying attention to what's happening. And next thing you know, you just lost like 19 minutes standing around eating M&Ms. But
it's an ultra. Who cares? Like, you're just out there to finish, right?
That, for me, yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm keeping track of time here. You know, there's so. But I usually run in, and I have my what works for me. But it's definitely very different. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't run any street race, and then you. Some of them will have a goo station like later in the race.
Right.
And then they have the water mixed with the Gatorade. You roll in here and people are like, you know, they got like Coke and stuff like that. Some road races will have a little bit of that occasionally, but I mean, they have like a spread. Mm-hmm. Like, you would be ill advised to just eat whatever you feel like eating, because now you're going to have like that, like, food
right
baby that you got to carry for the next 8 miles to the next aid station or whatever it is. So it's a little bit different experience. I wasn't ready for that the first time. I mean, I tried to be mentally prepared, but now that I had experienced it, I was like, yeah, that's definitely. My friend Mark was like, I'm just going to run from, you know, buffet to buffet. That's how I'm taking this race on. And I think he was pretty pleased. He had a good day too. So,
and that's how you can get away with running a 50K or a 50 miler with nothing but a handheld, because all you got to do is go, you know, 6 or 8 miles to the next aid station and refill. But I remember my first experience with the ultra world. I was running one of those races that was like a half and a full and a 50K and a 50 miler all rolled into one. And it was a small race. I had no idea really what I was doing. And I rolled up to the first aid station, and I was like, I couldn't wrap my head around, like, people were stopping and like, you know, we're eating and chatting. And I was like, where, I need a cup of water. Like, where's a cup, you know, like, just give me a cup so I can keep going. But yeah, I've since to come to appreciate that. And especially, you know, the day that I ran my ultra and you know, whatever ultras come are in my future as well. Like, you know, don't go too crazy. Don't, you know, like you said, don't add a whole bunch of random foods that you're not used to eating and carry the food baby and things like that. But, you know, don't need to rush to the aid station at an ultra either. It's a good time to stop for a couple minutes and shoot the breeze.
Yeah, and I think when you're – the type of terrain, at least for me, is very different, right? Mm-hmm. I have yet to run what I would consider an easy ultra. I don't know if there is one.
Right.
And if there were one, I don't think I would make it easy on myself. Like, so, you know, I try to go for things that are more of an adventure so that while I'm out there, you know, it gets hard. Mm-hmm. And so being out there for 8 hours is a long time when you're used to being done in about an hour and a half.
Right.
I don't really pack my food thinking about the aid station because I don't know what necessarily is going to be there. I've come to, there's some standards like with M&Ms and mm-hmm. pretzels and other kind of stuff, but you know, the vast majority of what's there, I won't eat it anyway because it's not the way I would normally eat. So, I'm bringing most of my own food, even though they're providing more than sufficient to run on nothing but a handheld.
Right.
I do drink a lot of water though. Like that's my number one concern when I'm out there is being dehydrated. So I crush through like my entire Camelback and then I fill it up at the halfway point and I burn through that sucker on the whole way back too. So, I mean, when we were out there, it was 26 degrees, so it wasn't warm. And I still drank like over 3 liters of water in the day. And I mean, I'm just, cause it, like every 5 minutes I'm just hitting a sip, just a sip. And I'm also the dude that's like trekking off the trail for every now and then checking my, you know, hydration status.
Right.
But I'd rather be hydrated and good than to really be dehydrated. Cause that would be an unpleasant place to be and be dehydrated. Cause there are times, as you know, and as you can imagine, if you haven't run an ultra, you're out in the middle of the woods and it could be 4 miles to the next, whatever. And,
right.
And if you're at that point in a really dire situation, hopefully you're in front of me because I'll have everything you need with me. So,
well, and again, not to be too you know, doom and gloom, but you may not only be in trouble, but you may not have cell signal in some of those places, even if you have your phone with you. So yeah, better to be safe than sorry.
Don't count on it.
Right.
Yeah. Don't count on it. So.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, I feel like we could keep going for a while, Jeremy. And like I said, I mean, we're well overdue and maybe we'll do this again at some point. But before I let you go, definitely have to ask a little philosophical question. And this might be the most fun philosophical question that maybe the least philosophical is a better way to say it. Least philosophical, okay. Philosophical question I've ever asked. But, you know, shifting back to the run streak thing. I feel like everybody I've talked to, and I haven't had very many on the podcast, but on social media, things like that, blog posts, articles, whatever, there's always that story or two of something silly, crazy, you know, out there of like stopping the car at 11:45 at night to get out and run your mile so that you can maintain your streak for that day. So in the 5+ years that you've been run streaking, have you done any real crazy, silly kind of, or things that other people might consider silly to, you know, simply to maintain your streak? And if so, can you give us a story or two?
Sure. Yeah. So early on in the first 100 days, I was, like I said, I was moving and I have an old classic Chevy. And so, that I love. So I trailered it from basically across country and I'm not the best driver with a trailer attached on. It's not something that I do very often. Right. So I was, you know, a little concerned, but that's also a long way to go. So I had my buddy Jack fly in from Chicago and drive cross country with me. And then he flew back to Chicago. So as we're driving across country, we would just drive for like 3 hours and just switch out. And we did this until we couldn't see straight. And we had gotten to this one truck stop kind of on the side of the highway. We pulled in and I realized that I'm like, dude, I haven't run yet today. He's like, that's all right. Nobody's going to care. I'm like, I care. So I got out of the car as it was raining and we're at a truck stop and I ran around the big rigs until my GPS hit a mile and like in jeans. Everyone was looking at me like, what are you doing? And then I finally got all done. I had to jump back in the truck and then change because I had soaked myself running out there in the rain. He was like, you're an idiot. I'm like, yeah. But I did it, right? I did it. And then, but now that is actually something I do on road trips because it only takes like, you know, 7 or 8 minutes. And that's enough time to like stretch out the legs and keep like driving a car for 14 hours sucks. I mean, it's fun if you enjoy driving, but you need to stretch it out. And that ends up being a good way that I actually work my run streak into road trips. I'll do it at not a gas station. I'll do it at the highway.
Mm-hmm. The rest stop.
The rest
or whatever.
Stations. Yeah, stuff like that. So, and my buddy Jack, he took a picture of me running out there in the rain and big goofy smile, thumbs up all around, and just looking like an idiot. But yeah, that was probably one of my more memorable ones. And then I had one other one. We had really bad snowstorm in Newport, Rhode Island. It was just like, you know, every snowstorm now is a snowpocalypse, accordingly to the north. Right. You know, but this one dumped so much snow, it was unbelievable. I mean, it was like a couple feet. And then I lived on a really great hill, so it was pretty cool because I could do hill repeats right outside my door, which is pretty awesome. But there were only three houses down there, so they didn't plow the streets until like 2 days after the snowstorm would come, because there was just no real need to. So I shoveled a path to the top of the hill, and then which was an eighth of a mile. And so I ran in my snow boots and gear. I went out there. So after shoveling, which took forever, a path up the road, I ran up and down that hill till I got to a mile. And the dudes at the top of the hill were in their plows, and they were like looking at me like, "What are you doing?" And my neighbor, he was just like, he was shaking. I could see him shaking his head through the window. He's like, "You're just an idiot." And then by the time I got done, like, more snow had filled in half of my shoveled in little lane anyway. So I got back in the house and yeah. And then that was the day. So those were probably my two more memorable ones where I had to really be creative and force myself to go do it. And it was really more for the fun and the adventure than it was any compulsion to run a mile. But it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I can almost imagine, not that I could imagine doing a run streak for 5 years, but I can almost imagine that, I don't know that you would go out of your way to have some of those random things happen, but like, that would be, again, you know, talk about earlier, mix it up a little bit, have a little bit of a breath of fresh air, like when it's like, oh crap, like I've got to shovel a path so I can run, or like, you know, we're on a road trip, what would be a good rest area to stop at or something like that. To just kind of, again, add a little variety, add a little something memorable over the course of, you know, 1900 consecutive days of running, to kind of might blend together a little bit.
That's right.
Good deal. Well, Jeremy, thank you certainly for taking the time. And once again, guys, at Spartan Sailor on the Twitter, connect, hang out, shoot the breeze a little bit. Always a good time. You know, and you'll probably run into Jen as well, who mentioned her enough times that you know, you'll probably run into her on the Twitters as well. But dizruns.com/552 is the link for today's show notes. If you want to get Jeremy's you know, Twitter handle there, if you're out on the go, can't type it in right now, no worries, we'll have it linked up. Photos, the whole nine yards, everything that we always talk about, link up to in the show notes, dizruns.com/552. So, Jeremy, again, thank you for taking the time today. Thanks for being patient with me and waiting 500 episodes for me to finally realize that we should have been having this conversation about the same time you started your run streak, almost. Maybe not quite that long, but almost.
No.
But certainly glad to connect and certainly looking forward to continuing to stay in touch and seeing what the future holds. And you know, however many more hundreds and thousands of days that you continue to streak, nothing but the best for you going forward. And thanks again for the time today.
Hey, thanks, Danny, and thanks for having me. Appreciate your time.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation between Jeremy and myself. And as always, I'd be curious to know what stood out to you from today's episode. What was something that we talked about that made your ears perk up a little bit, made you stop and think, or stop and really pay attention, maybe even press the rewind button and listen to it over again. For me, there were, I mean, obviously we talked a lot about running streaks, and it's just something that I don't quite understand. It doesn't work for me. I've tried it before and not enjoyed it. And that's kind of leads into the takeaway today, where Jeremy mentioned that, you know, he does it because he enjoys it. He enjoys running. And if it ever got to the point where, you know, his run streak became a chore, easy for me to say, became something that wasn't fun, something that he didn't enjoy, he'd walk away from it. You know, he's not married to the streak. And I think that's something that we all need to remember, whether we're, you know, run streakers or not. You know, if running gets to be something that isn't fun for us anymore, where it becomes, oh God, I got to go for a run today, instead of, all right, sweet, I get to go for a run today. You know, if you start to lose the passion for the sport, walk away, do something different. You know, there's nothing that says that we have to run. You know, as I've said many times, I don't think that too many of us listening or recording. Too many of y'all listening or myself recording it. You know, none of us are making our living because of our running talents. You know, we might have, like, I clearly have a job in the running field, in the running industry, but, you know, my livelihood doesn't depend on me getting out to run every time that I plan to go run, you know, and thankfully, maybe that makes it easier for it to be something that I enjoy, something that I always look forward to my runs. And very rarely do I really not want to do it. And again, you know, whether you're a streaker or not, whether you're training for a big event or not, whatever it is, running should always be fun. It should be something that brings you joy and not become something that is a chore, that is tough, that is something that is a slog that you don't necessarily want to do, but you feel like you have to do. And if it gets to that point, and I've actually had it be in those situations before, definitely had that when I tried run streaking before. It got to be like, oh God, I got to go do that 1 mile today to keep my streak going. And, you know, that's a pretty good sign that maybe run streaking isn't for me. And I've been in that situation at the end of a year before when I'm like chasing a arbitrary mileage goal and, oh man, I fell in behind the pace. And so these last 6 weeks of the year, I've got to hammer my runs every day, and it becomes work and it stops being fun. And in those cases, it's time to maybe reassess what we're doing. So, my big takeaway from the conversation today, is just that the reminder that for all of us, running really does need to be something that brings us joy, something that we look forward to. And if/when it becomes a chore, walk away for a little bit. And it doesn't mean you can never come back to running again. Sometimes take a couple of weeks off, do something else, do some cross training, whatever the case might be. And you know, that might restore the passion for it and make you actually look forward to running again. Maybe you need to take longer than that. Maybe you need to give it up for a while and come back in a year or two. Whatever it is, it needs to be fun. That's the name of the game, and that was my takeaway. But what about you? What stood out to you from this episode? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. And as always, you can head over to the show notes for this episode or any episode of the show. Leave your comments, thoughts, feedback, takeaways in the comment section of the show notes. And for this episode, DizRuns.com/552. And as always, we'll have Jeremy's contact information, his Twitter handle, stuff like that there. Links to anything we talked about that made sense to link to. And also, you know, the Health IQ information, since Health IQ is a sponsor for today. We have them linked up in the show notes as well. So with that, we'll go ahead and put a bow on this thing. And once again, thanks again to HealthIQ.com. Sponsored today's episode, HealthIQ.com/DizRuns. Or like I said, there's a link in the show notes and on the information in your on your device that you're listening to right now. If you're on the go and you want to tap over and check it out, just tap on the information for this episode, and bada boom, bada bam, by the magic of technology, you'll be right where you need to be to get information on life insurance and what kind of coverage you can get for what kind of rates you'd be looking at. So that is it for today. Thanks again to you for listening. Always appreciate it. Thanks for all that you do to promote the show, to share the show, to tell others about the show. Numbers have been going up and up and up in the last 6 months or so. And it's because of you guys. You know, I like to think that I'm still putting out a good show and trying to get better every day. I know that the increases come from y'all, from posting about it, blogging about it, tweeting about it, promoting it, telling your friends about it. And I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate that. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And until next time, please take good care. Be well. Be safe out there. Have a great run. And we'll talk soon. See you guys.